Då ska vi läsa Herrens ord, Jesajas bok kapitel 43, vers 16-21. Något nytt spirer fram. Så säger Herren, han som gjorde väg genom sjön, en sti i det väldiga vannet, som förte vagnar och hästar, här och hövdingar ut i. Där blev de liggande och reste sig aldrig. De slucknat som när en veke sluckas. Dere skall icke minnes de första ting. Icke tänk på det som hände för. Se, jag gör något nytt. Nu spirar det fram. Märker dere det icke? Ja, jag lägger väg i öknen. Älver i ödemarken. Ville dyr skall ära mig. Schakaler och strutsar. För jag ger vann i öknen och älver i ödemarken, som mitt utvalgte folk kan få dricka. Mitt folk som jag har formet ska förkynna min pris. Och så läser vi från Johannes evangelia, kapitel 13, vers 30-35. Då Judas hade fått stycke, gick han strax ut. Det var natt. Ett nytt bud, då han var gott, sa Jesus. Nå blev människosönnen härliggjort, och Gud blev härliggjort genom ham. Och är Gud blivit härliggjort genom ham, skall Gud också härliggöra ham och göra det snart. Mina barn, ännu en liten stund är jag hos er. Dere skall söka mig, men det jag sa till jödene, säger jag nå till er också. Dit jag går kan dere inte komma. Ett nytt bud ger jag dere. Dere skall älska varandra. Som jag har älskat dere, skall dere älska varandra. Ved detta skall alla förstå att dere är mina discipler, att dere har kärlighet till varandra.
Good morning. So good to see you all. Thanking God for this time. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you, my dear host family. I feel like I am coming home whenever I come to Norway. Thank you for the love. Every time when I come to Norway, I learn new things. It's an enriching moment in my life. And the recent visits, I observe Norway is learning how to make Indian food well. In 10 years ago, when I came to Norway, I used to look for immigrant shops for getting some Indian stuff. Now many of the Norwegian houses have Indian stuff. That helps me understand India is colonizing the world. I tell you, when you get addicted to Indian food, it's terrible. You cannot live without it. Indian food is really very addictive, isn't it? Yesterday I had an opportunity to spend some time with some of the missionaries and celebrate 40th anniversary of Go Out Center, where we had an opportunity to go and live for a year as family in Hurdal. And I started reflecting those days 2013-14, 1 year we could live here. We were living in Hurdal in the campus and enjoying the Norwegian culture and understanding of Norway better. It was really a time of thanking God. On the other side, I had little, you know, kind of an emotional time. It was a wonderful campus in the rural outskirts where we really enjoyed the nature. And then the campus was closed and the goat center was shifted to Trondheim. When I heard that a couple of years ago, I felt little, disturbing. What is this? It was such a nice place, and then, you know, it's moved to other place, and how it would be, and all that. And now, yesterday, I understood. I heard what is happening in God Center, and how youngsters are being equipped and sent to different parts of the world. I thank God. There is a season, there is a time period for everything. When it was in Hurdal, it was a season. When it is in Trondheim, there is a season. And God uses in a different way, in different seasons. And when I was looking at the verse we read just now, I started reflecting on how it was before that and how it is after that. Jesus is bringing a new paradigm into the lives of the disciples. So far, he was with them and they were enjoying everything so nice and nice miracles, and wherever Jesus goes, something dramatic happens and so many, you know, kind of enjoyable things. Now he is saying, I am giving you a new commandment. It is very interesting to see the passage. The first verse, it says, Judas left. You know, the way how this passage is helping us to understand. There was Judas, and Jesus is saying, go and do what you want to do. And then he's talking about the new commandment. He's saying, I am giving you a new commandment. What is this new commandment? It's a new paradigm he's helping them to understand. In the following verses, when we see, in the next chapter, in 14th chapter, in 14, 15, 16, 17, until 18, if we see, he's talking about the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit. The way how he is enabling us to fulfill this new commandment to live in a new paradigm. It's so interesting. He is saying, I am not leaving you orphans. He is telling them, it looks like I am going away, but it is not. Earlier, when I was on the mountaintop going for prayer, you were all alone. But now, you don't need to look for an opportunity to be with Jesus. Every time, everywhere, I am with you. That is what is the new paradigm he's talking about. And he is showing a model. He's showing how we can love somebody who we cannot love. And he's giving that Judas model to the disciples. And then later what happens was, every disciple, every apostles, they started loving as Jesus loved. That's what happened later part of their life. Peter, it was not understandable for Peter. But then now, in the new paradigm, in the new season, he was able to fulfill what Jesus was wanting them to fulfill. Every new commandment he gave, there is a new accompaniment. That is something I started reflecting on when I was reading this passage. The new commandment follows a new accompaniment. There was Holy Spirit. In a couple of weeks, I think we all will be observing the ascension, the Holy Spirit being given, the amount of enabling He is making in our lives. I want to show this two aspects of accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Number one is the ability to love. The ability to love as Jesus loved. If I am showing my love, it is limited. My human love is limited. But then if the Holy Spirit in me is able to show His love, it's unlimited. Yesterday we were discussing about the book, I Love Idi Amin. Brother Adwar was telling about that book. And it's about a bishop who was able to love Idi Amin. Probably many of you know who is Idi Amin and the difficulties the country of Uganda went through. How can I love somebody who is coming to kill me? How can I love somebody who is behind my life? If we look at the Old Testament saints and the difference between Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, the ability of loving like Jesus, that is something spectacular. That is where the Holy Spirit enables us to live in this new paradigm, a new season. Another aspect I was thinking of the power He is enabling us with. We are people of power. The situation India is going through, probably many of you would have read in the news, the amount of challenges we are going through. We have never seen such a thing in India. The challenges, so much of violence, so much of attacks against believers, attacks against churches. How do we explain Jesus? I believe the love and the power we get from the Holy Spirit is the answer. We can love them with the love of Christ. On the other side, we can be expressions of power of this Holy Spirit. When we allow Him, living is not really a challenge. That's what happened in Peter's life. We see he was so casual. He was just walking in the platform. And when he was walking, his shadow was healing people. His shadow, that means he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was bubbling of the Holy Spirit. He was bubbling with the power of the Holy Spirit. When he walks, even his shadow was healing people. Living a powerful life or power-filled life becomes natural for a believer if we are filled with Him. It may look very strange. The world around us is filled with so much of challenges, and it looks natural for a believer to assume, okay, we also need to live like this. Sometimes, you know, in the situation where we are living, we have so many people around us saying every possible negative thing about life. How do we face that? I believe personally, we have the ability of God through the Holy Spirit to say something opposite to all this negativity that is surrounded around us. You know, my own situation, my own family, when there is somebody sick, everybody talks about the sickness. You know, recently there was an interesting incident in my family. My mother, one of our family members, a distant relative, he was a very, very good surgeon. He died out of cancer. And you know, some of our family members, we went to visit the funeral and then came back. On the way back, we were discussing about him, his life. And my younger sister and my mother and my younger brother, they started talking about cancer and the effects of cancer and what type of cancer, and this cancer is like this and that cancer is like this. They were discussing so many things about cancer. And finally, what happened after 2 days, I left and then I went for some other meetings. And 2 days later, my mother calls me and she says, "I feel so sick, I need to meet the doctor. Can you get an appointment?" And then she went to the doctor, and you know, I organized some meeting with a good doctor nearby. And then she went through all the diagnostics. And then I told her, "You don't need to worry. God is with us. Your reports will be normal. Don't worry." But she was crying over phone. And then my younger sister called me. And she says, "You know, she's talking about whether I will also have cancer." Whether I will also, because I have all the symptoms what he was having, the one who died. And I said, "No way. Why should we believe? It is not from God that she is getting a thoughts like this." And I told her, "You don't need to think about cancer. You will not have it, because God has put a hedge around you, and we are praying that you are safe. You will not have it." And then when all the reports came, every report was normal. And the doctor said, "This is a gastric problem. You don't need to do anything. Just take enough water and take enough rest. You will be all right." And immediately the next day, she became all right. So, you know, why I am saying this, you know, more we talk about what evil can do, more we accept it. We are people of power. God has given us the ability to speak what he can do. That's what I do in the surroundings where we are living. Everybody talks anything negative. Because of the situation people go through. But we have the ability to push away and raise up and say what God can do. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, who is able to do more than what could think and imagine. We have the ability of God in us. You know, the country like India, I don't know how many of you have visited India, how many of you have gone through some of the challenges people are facing. It's the, you know, it's literally we could experience the thick darkness covering the earth. In Isaiah 60, the word of God says, the thick darkness will cover. 60 or 61, I don't remember. Thick darkness will cover the earth. We could literally witness that. We could see the thick darkness. But for children of God, it says, Lord will shine on you. The light of God is upon you. It has come upon you. You rise up and shine. And we have that ability. We have that promise from God. The Isaiah, the chapter we saw, it says, for my people. It's so, you know, I take the word so personal whenever I read. And God says, I am doing something new. And what is that new? That word says, I am bringing water in the wilderness, river in the wilderness, river in the desert. That is a great promise. It looks desert. It looks dry land. It looks nothing will happen in that place. But our God says, I am creating this new for you, for my people. And I want to claim that. I want to take that for me. I want to say, Lord, you said you are doing this for me. Do it for me. And you know, I'm a little adamant in my family. And my parents used to say, you know, you are so adamant. And you know, earlier days I was adamant for myself. Now I am adamant for the Lord. And I want to live like that. I want to say, Lord, you said this and you make this happen, not for my selfishness, but for your glory. And that's what Jesus is praying in this passage. He says, Lord, glorify. He's talking about glorification in the first passage. I think it is 32. He's talking about glorifying. Father God is glorifying Jesus. And when we are living for him, when we are able to express him, he is glorifying. And his name is glorified. And that is how I want to live. I want to live in a place like India and Bangladesh and Nepal and wherever. I want to make this as part of my life. I want to live as a person of love, person of power. And not for my own glory, but for the Lord. And hearing all the things happening in the whole world right now, I think God is challenging us. God is giving us this message of infilling of his Holy Spirit and live as people of power, people of love. The world is longing for love, the real love. And you know, so many different things are being posed as love. But the real love only you and me can give, because we have him living in us. Jesus, when he is living in us, we cannot be quiet. We cannot be, you know, ignorant of things. We cannot be saying, oh, I don't need to bother about it, and me and my God and my life. And no, we cannot live like that. He always disturbs us. That's what Paul says. The compelling love, the love inside is compelling us to do something. And we cannot close our eyes and go when he is living in us. When somebody is sick, when somebody is not able to live the fullness in life, we cannot keep quiet. We always reach out and say, what I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Can I come alongside you? Can I share your burden? I am so impressed by my elder daughter. I didn't mention about my family. I have a wife and three daughters. The elder one is 19 and 14 years old and 9 years old. We have three daughters. The elder one went to outreach work, and she went to a cafe to have a cup of coffee, and she was having coffee, she was asking God, why did you bring me here? And she found a girl, and this was in Cyprus, and she started talking to her, and then she says, she prayed in the morning, Lord, bring the right person today, and I want to share what you want to share. And as she was talking, this girl started telling, I am feeling so lonely. I am here studying in the university. I am looking for somebody to come and spend time with me. And it was Tina who could fill that gap on the day. And not only that, she could introduce with other fellowship, and she was part of a church now in Cyprus. Why I'm saying that, when we have him inside, he drives us, he helps us to do something in our life. And that makes us people of love, people of power. Thank you very much for this wonderful day. May God help us, enable us to live as people of love, people of power. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.